Okay, here we go. We're in the Rambam chapter 9, Hilchas Pora Duma Halochavav. We're still talking about putting the ash in the water. And yesterday we said, really, the bottom line is it's not such a very thorough mixture of ash and water. It's really very, very small amount of ash. And we already showed you possibilities where there may not even be any ash in the water at all, and it's still good and fine. So we're going to give you another example of that in Halacha Vav. Please take a look at this picture over here. The picture, it's not a bad picture. It shows you this large piece of rock that's not attached to the ground, because if it's attached to the ground, it's not a kli. So it's a movable rock, but it's fairly big. And you have in what do you call it? Etched into it. What do you call it? What's the word? Carved out of it. There's two utensils there. It's like a trough. It's like a double trough. Okay. So theoretically, I can pour water into one and put ash into one. And I could pour water into the other and put ash into the other. And that would be fine. But that would make it too easy. So let's see what we're going to learn on Halacha Vav over here. Stay shekasos shebeven achas. You have two troughs in one stone. Achas shenosa nasa'efer letoch achas mehem. So one of them, so you got water in both of them, okay? And now I'm putting ash into one of the two troughs. So obviously, ein ha'mayim shebishniyem mukudashim. The water in the second one is not going to be sanctified, because there's no ash in the other one. They are two separate things.
Yeah.
And I only put one. Well, there's no chiddush there. That's just the setup. This is the setup. But how is it? How could we, even though there's no ash in the second one, that it could be sanctified paraduma water?
Connected. Drill a hole between
them. Now this is exactly the mikveh situation I was telling you about yesterday. But if you bore a hole straight through the middle wall in between them, and that's a specific width it must be. How wide? Kishfoferes hanod.
Oh boy.
Where it's like, literally a shofar is like a straw through a knot of a pouch. And here's the picture coming up. See the guy? This guy's carrying a node. That's one of those, you know, those water flasks made out of skins.
Yeah.
And see at the top, you got like a tube right on the upper corner. Yeah. It's a tube and they tie it up.
Looks like a capon.
No, it's bagpipes.
Okay. But anyway, it's meant for him to drill. Oh, no. I'm sorry. The bottom left.
Yeah,
there. It's over there. It's over there. That's what I meant. So that really is the way he'll drink from that.
Yes.
So it's got to have a thickness that you could put the drinking tube with the knot there. So it's got to be a hole that thick. One hole that thick.
The drinking tube and between the knot at the end there.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But you have that amount of a hole that you're able to, just like if you were drinking, you'd be doing that. So that would be doing that. And that's what you'll find in a kosher mikveh today. Uh-huh. The bore has that opening that goes in exactly like that. So now if you got that hole, even though I put ashes on the left side, the left opening, the right side that has absolutely zero ash at all put in it, the waters are kissing each other. So it's one water, and even though there's no ash on it, that is like such a clear example that you really don't need to have any ashes.
Don't the ash eventually flow in?
No, it doesn't have to.
But
it doesn't need to. Once it's in, that's it.
Now but the whole thing itself looks pretty clear.
How far does that extend? Supposing you had a triple trough like that.
Whoa.
So the one beside the one that was beside the one that had the ash, there's a third one?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Now, that's one way, or we could have another way. Now, let's just modify that picture slightly. How to modify it? Let's look at the outside uppermost part. Okay, let me try to. This part.
The ledge, yeah.
If it was a little bit, like just a little bit elevated. So, in other words, if the water would overflow a little bit, it would still stay on the top.
Right,
a lip.
A lip.
A lip. So if there's a lip all around, and we put a little bit more water. There was water between the two, and it also covers up the part in between them. Okay? And now I'm putting ash just on one side.
That would be okay.
Okay, that's what he's going to say the next few words. Or the water was overflowing. Now, how much do you have to overflow from the top of the receptacle? Afilu keklipas hashum, it was as thin as a layer of an onion peel.
That's pretty thin.
That's very thin.
Pretty thin, Mark. Vinosan
eifarlaps, and you put ash into one of them. Right. The water in the second one is mekudosh.
So if they were running low on their paraduma, they don't have a new one.
This is a way where they could really extend it from the beginning, not running low. Uh-huh. When you, I'm sure they've maxed out a paraduma. They said, bring as many water things you have, and let's come up with the most crafty ways that we can make as much as we can. You need to have a lot.
Yeah.
Imagine a lot of... Listen, people did die. I mean, in a normal year, even a good year, right? People live, you know, thousands of Jews die, right? You're talking about millions of Jews. So how many Jews die in a year? Thousands. And now you're talking about everybody who was involved in the burial of this person. So there's dozens of people every day are being tummy. Not because they've done anything wrong. They're just doing mitzvahs.
But isn't it, like in the book, it shows like Erev Pesach. There's a big run on paraduma water because people want to eat their Korban Pesach.
So that's a rush.
Yeah.
On top of the normal busy days.
Yeah, exactly.
But it could be when a person was tummy mace, you see. There was no rush. If you weren't a Kohen, Shelley, you weren't eating truma, and you're a regular Jew, you went to a funeral, you only knew that by Pesach I had to be tummy.
Exactly.
Unless you had to bring a korban.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had to go three times a year, really. So maybe three times a year was busy. You had to go to Yerushalayim, you have a chiv ol regel, you have to eat kachim, so you got to be tar.
But this is why we read it before Pesach, just before Pesach.
Yes, exactly. So that's the point over there. Okay, now we're going to have another exciting picture over here. Come on. Now, what we have over here is really two halves. Even though it's together right now, we'll call it two half troughs. Just for a minute. You see where the crack is down the middle?
Yes, that's the half.
Just separate them for a second.
Okay.
Pretend they're not connected at all. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what do? You have two half troughs that are totally not a kli. What do?
You put them together.
You now put them together. But when you put them together, now, you know, using Elmer's glue or whatever you're doing to put it together, so you've got the actual stone, but when the stones combine, that spot in the middle, that crack that now is being fixed together, it's not really the stone that's putting them together.
It's the adherent.
So that's what we have to be focused on over here. So now we have a number of scenarios. We only have one in the pictures, but there's a few examples similar idea. Shnei avanim, let's say two stones like this, and they start off as half stones. Shehi kifon zulazu, you attach them together, and by doing that, va'asan shokas, now you made one trough between the two of them. Okay? Or vechein sherevas, or two broken kneading bowls. It's broken. And now what you attach them together into one kneading bowl. V'chein shokas, or you had one trough. Shenech l'ka, that got broken. V'nosan efer, b'chelek achad mehem. And now you're putting shokas, shenech l'ka. It just got a little bit divided up. It's not exactly clear what that third case is. But anyway, the common denominator is that you have of two halves that have emerged together. That's the bottom line.
And there's a connector that's
not clean. And there's a connector in the half, right? So now what's going to happen is, so now you're filling it up with water, and it's, now if the water leaked, it was not a good connection, it would be puzzle, because the utensil is broken. Mm-hmm. But what happens is, now you're filling water. Now there's water in the one big hole, but one is on one half of the old crack, and one's on the other half of the crack. Okay?
What do you mean, the water is on?
Yeah, well, the water, before it was put together, there were half holes.
Right.
Now you put them together. Now I'm filling it up with water. So I've got water on one side of the crack and water on the other side of the crack.
Well, it makes logic. It's the case.
And let's say you put paraduma ash on one side of the crack. not on both sides of the crack, on one side of the crack. That's what he did. Don't ask me why, but that's what he did. Okay, that's the case. V'nasan efer b'chelek achad mehem. So now you're putting water on only one side.
Ash.
I'm sorry. You put water on the whole thing. You put ash on only one side of the crack. So the question is, how much of the water is going to be mekudesh? So he says, very interesting. Hamayim shebeinehem einam mekudesh. The water in between them is not kudesh. In other words, the water over the crack, okay? And now, very important point we have to mention here. We're speaking where the two are together, but they're not really solid. And what do we mean? If I would pick up the right side by itself, let's say like this. Okay, let's just say this has a right side and a left side. It happens to be complete. So it really works out really well. Even though I'm only picking it up on one side, the whole thing goes up. But let's say somehow this tape recorder was split in half and I glued it together. And the glue, while it's sitting, it's perfectly together. But it's not that strong. And if I'm going to pick it up like this, the left side's going to fall off. That's the case over here. That you have to put in between the lines. So now what's really happening is, since it's not leaking, the receptacle is valid. Okay. But I only put ash on one side. Okay, that's what I did. Or, for that matter, even I put ash on one side and ash on the other side. Here's the point. The part of where the crack is, and this water over the crack, will that be considered part of the, with the ash side, and it's considered connected to the ash side, or not? You follow?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Because you got to remember, even what's on the left side is definitely not connected. You know why? Because if I pick this thing up, the second half ain't going with it.
But all the water flies up too.
It's liquid. It's all connecting. You used that principle before.
I know, but that's in a whole utensil that there's nothing wrong with this.
On the ground together.
I understand, but it's not really permanent. Because if I pick it up, one half's going to go off. It's been compromised. Doesn't matter.
You can't separate the water.
That's what he's saying. So he's saying, therefore, if you put ash on one side, some of the water that's over the crack, Eina Mukdashim, is not going to be sanctified, because really that part of the crack is also part of the other half of the trough that's not been sanctified. Okay? So therefore it doesn't work. Okay, now, if you put ash on both sides, okay. Then it's got to be attached to either one or the other. You got to give them one or the other. In other words, if you only put ash on one side, you got to assume that the crack goes with the other side. Okay, because it's not really fully connected. If I put ash on both sides, okay, then between the two it's covered. That is when it's not so solidly connected.
But
in chibra basira begipsis, if you seal it with mortar and gipsis, which is a good adherent, and now if I pick it up from one side, the whole thing goes up, then everything is mekudesh. In other words, so if the utensil is mamash, a permanent utensil, then you're right. Whatever I put on one side works on the other side. But here, since it's functioning as utensil, but not so solidly, right? So therefore, what's on one side is not going to connect to the other side. And the crack in the middle, since it's nishtahina, nishtaher, we have to assume it goes to the other side. Unless you put on that ash on both sides and then it works together.
You stir the ash?
Okay, but you only stirred it on the left side and not on the other side.
Put the left side in.
Right?
Okay.
Even though it's kissing it, you might say, but it's kissing it. But it's by the crack where they're not really connected.
So when you split
that crack, since it's not a real full solid vessel,
I get this.
Right? Now, as opposed to the picture before, let's go back to the picture before.
Just press on Vav. Press on Vav. There you go. Go down.
See, that is one full thing.
Yeah.
So if the water's overflowing from the other, they're connected. If I pick up the left side, the right side will go with it.
Yeah.
But we're speaking in case where I pick up the left side, the right side's not going with it.
And I'm just struggling, though, with the water itself that's in it. If you pick up the left side, the right side, you have nothing to talk about anyway.
Right, because the whole thing's gone. Goodbye.
Exactly.
So therefore, we're saying it's not considered connected. That's the point he's saying.
Now, what about the spreading of the ashes? When you spread it exactly over that half, because it says you have to spread it over a thin layer over the entire surface.
So he only did the half. So now is the part over the crack considered kissing it?
Okay.
And we're saying it's not. That's the point. Okay, moving on. Now, finally, the rule that we've been applying, but we haven't learned, the Rambam finally spells it out clearly in Halacha Ches. Mayim Mekudashim, water that's been sanctified, that ash has been put into it. And now, if after you got the ash in the water, and it's very good, acceptable part of the water, but now what did you do? Shinisar v'mayim achem, if you add any water to it now, any kind of water, even mikvah water, any water, kolshu, even a little bit, afilu maim shnismal lekiddush, even water that you filled up in another holy vessel, that you want to use it for a future paraduma, jemput ashes, and even that wonderful water, if a drop of that goes into the ash water, hareil psun, it makes it puzzle. It's not bottle to anything. Period. Okay? And even though it's a minimal amount, it doesn't matter. It's a part that was never connected, and it's not buffling anything. What if you had the water and everything, and you left the lid open, and that night
overnight.
There was dew all over, and dew got into the thing? Because that's water. That's not part of the original water. Similar ideas. What about certain drinks? Coca-Cola. Umei peros, fruit juices.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you got a problem. It possles it. All these cases, these are the legitimate drinks, as it were, that have content of some type of water even derivative there. So now it's all possible. Now the question, what do you do with it? What do you mean? You spill it out. What's the question? Well, it's not so simple. Okay, let's say I spill it out, and now I'll pour new water in there. Not so fast. Yarakol, you got to spill it all out. But you next, v'tzorech l'nagev hakli, and you got to dry the utensil.
Yes, because there's water left in there.
There's drops.
Yeah.
Now you could put other holy water in there. In other words, they must have, when they were finished making it, they had special utensils that were in storage called holy water. So you got this holy water. I don't, whatever, they probably had special jugs or whatever, easy to use, easy, you know, with handles.
Special seals on it.
Whatever, and it was fine. But now, guess what happened? This one got messed up. Some water got in it. You got to spill it out, but we're going to want to use it again for new water. But you first got to dry it, because if you don't dry it, you got some droplets that are pustle. They're going to get mixed with the good water now. It's going to mess up that water too. So therefore, you got to make sure that's only if I plan on reusing the jug for holy water. Okay. Now, what if, let's say, another thing fell in that made it possible? It's a more visible thing. Nafal lesocho, dio, the ink. Kumos, vekankantum, there's different types of
black
inks,
yeah.
Different types of dyes that are very discernible. Vecholdavishu rosh, anything that can make a mark.
Yeah.
So obviously it postles it, it's a liquid, but when you pour it out, yarav ansarach lenagiv, you don't have to dry it. Why wouldn't you have to dry it?
Because you could see it.
Because if there are any black dots,
you
know that's out there. If there's no black dots, then what drops are there? The original water. And the original water, that would be okay. But we don't know what's normally original water or not. But when you don't see any black drops, you see. Shimishard shamdavar harayishim. If you would have seen some, areyunir, you'd see it. And therefore, as long as there's nothing dark over there, then you're okay.
So if you're doing this and it starts to rain, that's a problem?
That's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
You got to, when they're finished, you seal them tight.
Tight. Tight. And you look at the weather report before you start all this.
Now,
you would just mix the ashes inside the house or something.
You shouldn't do it on a rainy day. If it was a rainy day, I would not recommend doing that. And Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, many months don't have rain over there.
Yeah.
Now, remember we said in Perek Hay, any utensils that you use for any of this business paraduma, even if they're tar, you got to take them in the mikveh. You got to purify them. That's just a strictness. Even though it's tar, you got to take it in the mikveh anyway. Okay. Now the problem is going to be this. If you take it to the mikveh, you could have some drops of water in there.
From the mikveh.
Dry it up.
Oh, so now we got to see there's a number of steps over here. Because so far we're only talking about ash water that becomes unfit when water hits that. What about drawn water?
Same thing.
And other water.
Same thing. That.
So it's not the same exactly. So hamatbil kli lechatas. So let's say you've got this utensil. You want to make this worthy for water. So you take it to the mikveh.
Now
there's two types of mikvahs. Remember, there's a mikveh, and then there's spring water. A spring is also a mikveh, right? Now, where does the water for the paraduma have to come from?
Spring water.
Spring water only. Anything but spring water, out.
Forget it.
So there's two ways you can mikvetize this vessel, either in a regular mikveh or in a spring. So let's say this water that you're planning on using to hold the water of the paraduma, you put in a regular mikveh.
Dry it completely.
Okay, so it's 100% kosher, 100%. But that water is not good enough water for paraduma water. So now, tsarech lenage, if you got to dry it to remove any droplets, and then ve'achar kach yikadishbo, then you can put the water in, then you can put the ash in, because it's completely dry. If you don't, what's going to happen?
Possible.
You're going to have ash water with other water, and that's going to possible it. On the other hand, listen to this. So here's the chiddush. Let's say you put it in with spring water.
Now that's okay.
So now you got some spring water there. Ein tzarech lenagev. You don't have to dry it out. Because what kind of water are you going to put in there anyway?
Spring water anyway.
It's going to be spring water anyway. So what's going to be the problem? And especially it's spring water for this express purpose. For this utensil, so you don't have to dry it out. Okay?
But wait.
Right?
Okay, but.
Let's just do one more line and then we'll get your question. Let's do this one more category. But what if imhit bilu less of bayim mikudoshim? Let's say you've taken it even for in the spring water, but you're going to pour ash water in. Not regular water, but ash water.
Then you've got to dry it because
that's
the same as what you said before.
Right, but you see the difference. But if you're putting in the
water,
no.
Just the spring water by itself, you're okay. But the completed product,
if you're putting in spring water and then you're just putting in regular water and then you're going to put the ash,
you're okay.
Then it's okay.
Spring water.
If you took it in a spring,
right.
And now you're going to pour spring water in. And then you're going to put ash, you're fine. But if I'm going to pour in ash water...
Completed product.
Then even the spring water that I have there...
Because you said if you had the ash water already and you added
more water
from the spring, it wasn't any...
Right. So the only thing we're saying is if you dipped it in the mikveh and all you're going to first put in is regular water...
It's okay.
Then that's okay. Because that's no worse than any water. Spring water. Right, but if it's not spring water, then you got a problem.
So here's my question.
So we're saying, but if you're putting in ash water, then even the spring water from the mikveh there of going into spring, that's not going to be good, and you can't use it.
Okay, so if you dipped it into the spring mikveh, you don't have to dry it out, and you can fill it with regular water.
Regular good spring water.
Spring water, and then do your ashes. However, if you dipped it in the mikveh.
That's already bad water. That's already bad water.
No, if you dipped it in the spring mix.
Okay, that's better.
Okay.
And
then you did something.
What'd you do?
You called your wife and yourself.
Kasachdat.
Now you fill it up with more spring water. So now you have some water in there, and you had a hefsek between the two.
So I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I hear what you're asking. I am not sure.
I would say it may not be good.
I'm not sure.
I would rule no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm saying no too. How do you distinguish between...
So this is what you do. Silence the phone. Okay? Silence the phone.
I hear.
The bathroom in between.
Okay, the bathroom is different. Because you're not allowed to be disgusting in front of a chef.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to finish it here.
It's best to have two.
More excitement next week. Go ahead. Okay, we're back on track.
Thank you.